Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. Before I start, I want to give out the studio number because this is a live show and we love to hear from our listeners. That number is 510-770-1550. Today's topic is sibling rivalry. Brothers fight, sisters fight, brothers and sisters fight. That's normal, right? But do the tensions of childhood carry over to adulthood? Do the way parents handle these fights lead to a lifetime of lingering resentment? Can we as parents handle conflict among our children better? But before we start, I want to mention that Parent Talk is 1 year old this month. So happy birthday to us and many, many thanks to our listeners for being with us on this journey. You know the way to reach us via email is radio@indiacc.org and Facebook at the ICC Parent Talk page. Please do like us and please give us your thoughts, your feedback, your questions and suggestions for future topics. And if you want to participate, you're most welcome to do so. We love to hear from parents about what they have to say about their own experiences. Also, today we have a new theme for the show composed by Naren Pradhan, so regular listeners can let me know if they prefer this theme or the old one. We're having some problems with the sound quality right now, but hopefully our producer Saad Jafri can fix it by the time we get around to our first break, or maybe by next week. So do listen to that and see if that's something you prefer over the last theme that we had. So here in the studio to talk to me on the subject of sibling rivalry is marriage and family therapist Sushma Trivedi, who has a practice in Palo Alto. Sushma, you've been a regular on the show and we're so appreciative of that.
I like it. Thank you.
You know, but we've never given out your contact info. So do you want to just share quickly? Because I always rush at the end of the show and never get around to doing
it. Yes. So I have office in Palo Alto and also in San Jose. I'm in San Jose on Saturdays and in Palo Alto, you know, Monday through Friday. You can get more information about me by going to my website, which is www.sushmatrivedi.com.
That's S-U... Yes, go ahead.
S-U-S-H-M-A-T-R-I-V-E-D-I. SushmaTrivedi.com.
Also in the studio with us today is Arun Kumar. He is a parent of two boys, also a sibling himself. So we hope to hear from him about how his experience as a sibling is different from the way his children have the experience as a sibling. Welcome to the show, Arun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So, Sushma, let's begin with you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, if I talk to parents about their children fighting, they say, oh, it's so normal. Kids fight all the time. So is this something that really deserves to be thought about and be for a parent to be concerned about?
I think fighting, just regular fighting between children, is different from sibling rivalry. You know, rivalry is about competing for attention from the parents. Mm-hmm. You know, hence sibling rivalry. Mm-hmm. Now that is, so sibling rivalry is different mm-hmm. from regular fighting. Parents can sort of cause it in some ways by paying more attention to one child or the other or comparing them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll talk more about it in the show. Mm-hmm. But sibling rivalry is a different thing from fighting.
How does it manifest itself? How do we see it show up?
Well, I mean, it can show up in any child misbehavior. It can show up in the child throwing a tantrum or sulking or, you know, telling the mother you like him more or mm-hmm. you like her more, you don't love me, you know, things like that. But when they become adults and that kind of feeling of resentment mm-hmm. continues, then it shows up in much more damaging ways.
I see.
And, you know, as time goes on, we'll probably talk more about it today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'd love to actually hear about how that affects us as adults, the tensions of our children, of yeah. our childhood. And Arun, how about you? You were a sibling when you were growing up, and then you have two boys who are pretty close in age. So there is definitely that element of competition. So what do you see about, did you feel that you had that sense of rivalry with your sibling when you were growing up?
So, you know, I had a sister, a younger sister, around the same age difference as my two boys have. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, it's just that I think the differences between then and now is in terms of more the gender. I think the brother-sister relationship is slightly different mm-hmm. than the way two brothers grow up, mm-hmm. which is what
And we'll I'm talk
seeing,
about that
yes,
as well.
Which is what I'm seeing up front. I think the age difference obviously matters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know of some other families where the age gap is much more, and then the older child has a much more acute sense of maybe attention going away, or more attention being given to the younger child because that child has grown up and maybe a little more self-sufficient, and the consciousness is more there. But whereas if the age difference is not that much, I think the fact that something is being taken away is maybe not that acute.
Right.
So they sort of in it together while they're growing up.
Right.
Guess I have experiences. I can talk about it during the show as well.
Absolutely. And I guess that segues to perfectly the next question, which is, can sibling rivalry start before the sibling is born? Sushma, why don't you take that?
It's rare, but yes, it can. So if a parent is really very preoccupied with the baby that's going to come, pregnancy, they're really preoccupied with that, or there is some health issue because of which the mother is in bed, or so the child is feeling a loss of what was because of this new presence yet to come.
Yeah, and that goes to Arun's point, which is if there's an age gap, the child has been the sole focus of the parents' attention. Right, Sushma?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like paradise lost. I mean, the first child has got everything going for him or her. Parents are attentive, they really need the parents. So just having parents' attention, having their love, having the warmth of all of it, and then suddenly, don't touch the baby, don't go near the baby, don't go too close to mommy, don't sit on mommy's tummy. There are a lot of don'ts, a lot of loss associated with the new baby coming.
Yeah, and in fact, very interesting incident happened when my younger one was born. The older one was close to 3 years old. And, so we're trying to do the same thing, getting him prepared and so on. So when the younger one was born, we sort of brought a toy and, gave it to the older one, Advait, and said, this is from your younger brother. He got it for you. So he was very happy that, and then...
That's a good idea. That's a really smart thing
to do.
Said,
he didn't know better at that time, right? And I'm sure he's listening in and thinking about what other things we may have done, right? But, so we gave it to him, and then the younger one, Sachet, had stayed in the hospital for a slightly longer time. He was born a preemie, so he stayed a little longer. And then by the time came to pick him and get him home, Advait was like, okay, so can't we now then just send him back? I mean, why do we need to get him home now? I mean, new baby, excellent, but...
Absolutely. You're listening to Parent Talk, and we'd love to hear from your experiences as a sibling, and if you have kids, about the way your children interact with each other. Our number, studio number, is 510-770-1550, and we're talking to therapist Sushma Trivedi and parent Arun Kumar. Let's talk a little bit more about the manifestation, and you talked about how that resentment sort of carries over. So how do parents contribute to it? I'm sure it's inadvertent in most cases, because as we just talked about, when the new baby comes, really the parent doesn't have a choice. I mean, the mother does need her rest, and you cannot jump on her the way you used to before. So is it inadvertent? And I think Arun shared a really cool idea of getting the baby to be more accepted or acceptable by the older sibling. So what do parents do that might aggravate the situation, and what can they do a little bit about it? It's a long question, so let's just take it in pieces.
So parents, just normal behavior, first of all. Parents say, we talked about that don't do this, don't do that, don't go too close to the baby. All of that can give rise to the baby, to the first child, feeling left out. And the first child can resent the baby brother or sister. Then there are also certain thinking and communication patterns that parents have that can really exacerbate it. And more so in later years, when the kids are a little bit older. So, for example, parents may engage in communication like, if you do that, your brother will never do this to you. If you are, you are a girl, and if you don't be nice to your brother, when you grow up, he won't go to your in-laws' place and bring you home.
My goodness, that's complicated.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, this is, I remember that because when I was growing up, that is what was told to us all the time. Be good to your brother or else he won't bring you home after you're married.
You know? Wow.
So, you know, there is, sort of is this, a lot of this, this sort of fortune telling, right? You need to do this or, you know, your brother can lose his eye if you touch him in the eye and he won't be able to see. Or, you know, this a lot of negative fortune telling.
So that's an interesting way of putting it, negative fortune telling.
Fortune telling that, you know, if you do this behavior, something can happen. And a lot of, and then there is black and white thinking. You know, your brother is so good, how come you are not so good? Or look at your sister, she behaves so nicely, why can't you do like that? Or, you know, my, I've got two sons, but my, my one son is so good, and I don't know what I did wrong, but my other son is really not good. Or, you know, so things like black and white thinking, fortune telling, these communication patterns can really foster a lot of sibling rivalry.
And it seems to me in the examples that you gave that the gender is a pretty strong factor in, if you have siblings of different genders, then the equation may be quite different in the way the parents have the conversation with their children. So this is a good time for a break. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about how these gender roles sort of inadvertently make us say things and do things differentiated among our between our children, and how that, especially I think when we were growing up, but maybe we have that hangover with our children as well. So when we come back from a break, we're talking about sibling rivalry. When we come back from a break, we'll talk a little bit more about the gender roles in sibling rivalry. You're listening to Parent Talk, and we'll be back after a break. Welcome back to Parent Talk. We're talking about sibling rivalry today, and I have in the studio with me Sushma Trivedi, marriage and family therapist, and Arun Kumar, who's a sibling as well as a parent of two children. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about how sibling rivalry manifests itself and how it's different from the children just fighting. As Sushma pointed out, rivalry basically means that the children are competing for the attention of the parents, and when there seems to be a perceived imbalance in that level of attention, then there is there could possibly be a sense of resentment about why one child is favored or the other, at least the perception of one child being favored over the other. And we talked about how it can even start as early as when the child is not, the second child is not even born or just born, because there are some natural pressures on the parents to give a lot more attention to the younger sibling, and it's hard to explain to the older one why that kind of extra attention is being taken away. And our parent here, Arun, he also talked about how when the age gap isn't that much, it's easier for the kids to think of themselves as a single unit and sort of go together. But if there's a long age gap, the older child actually has the time to have been the focus of their parents' attention. And then when the new child comes is born, then it feels much more like an intruder into the family dynamic than maybe if the children were much closer in age. When we were talking about that, it seemed to me that the gender also plays a role in deciding how much rivalry there is between the children. If the siblings are of different ages, different genders, having one boy and a girl instead of having two boys or two girls, the dynamic may be different. And Sushma, can we talk a little bit about that and how the rivalry may be different if the genders are the same versus the genders are different? And maybe also talk about, is the rivalry between two girls different from the rivalry between two boys? And Arun, definitely, you know, I want your input on that as well.
Yes, my answer is yes, yes, and yes.
So, okay, maybe I need to phrase the questions one at a time.
Yes, the rivalry between children of opposite sex, there is there, but there is a sense of helplessness in that rivalry. Because if the rivalry is there because one child is male and the other child is female, you know, the girl feels, you know, mom does it only because he's a boy, you know, or you know, she's
do
getting
kids
all
get
this
that sense immediately? Do are they able to sense that the difference in treatment is because of their gender?
Well, they notice the difference in treatment, but that explanation comes around 8-9 years of age. It does not come before. And I have actually seen girls, mm-hmm. you know, who have a little brother, manifest it in ways like they'll say, "My baby," mm-hmm. and "My baby is perfect, but I am not good."
Oh dear,
you mm-hmm. know, and things like that. So they know that there is a difference between the way the brother is being treated and they are treated.
Definitely,
and
I think
helpless sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and it may also be the other way around,
mm-hmm.
that you know, mom likes my sister more,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, because they are.
I just want to bring in that cultural element. Growing up in India, I think there was definitely, my parents did their best, I think, to treat myself and my brother equally. But there was always a different set of standards for a girl as compared to a boy. I think, as I said, it's a matter of perception. But I definitely felt that as a girl, I was expected to behave in certain ways that my brother did not need to. Maybe in terms of dressing appropriately and not... My brother could roam around in a chaddi and torn banyan all over the place, but I couldn't. And that was very clear that there are a set of rules for girls and there are a set of rules for boys. And maybe it was more cultural than influenced by our parents, but that definitely contributed to a certain amount of tension.
Yeah, and in the Indian families in the West also there is that difference in treatment to some extent.
Is it also,
that is,
you're right, because I actually spoke to a parent with, again, a girl and a boy, and she said, you know, the girl, she's only going to get up and grow up and get married, so I'm not really worried about her education, but the boy has to make his own way in life. And I'm sure if she had that attitude in her mind, it would probably manifest itself in the way she treated her children.
Absolutely.
Now, yes. Arun, you are the sibling of a girl, but you have two boys, so I'm sure you have some thoughts to share on that.
Yeah, no, I think it's an interesting topic. We're touching upon the traditional cultural mores, right? And we grew up in a small town,
mm-hmm.
in India, and my sister was same age gap as my two boys, younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a joint family, right? So my grandmother, my aunt, they all stayed with us. So it was a family unit, not just parents and kids. And I think that makes a lot of difference, because I would say my parents were quite progressive in, mm-hmm. their thoughts, in their ideas, and you know, I think they allowed as much freedom and opportunity to my sister as they did to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
came from a very, very
traditional,
stereotypical,
yeah,
kind of you know, mindset, and I think she obviously showered her affections and her attention on me,
mm-hmm.
right, compared to my sister, and that.
The boy in the family.
It was more obvious, right? Yeah, so mm. more the boy thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether it is feed time, you know, food time, or, you know, just in terms of, you know, the attention you're getting and, you know, all that kind of thing. And I think you could see that my sister was not getting her fair share from her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And that did lead to certain kind of resentment at a later stage where...
Was the resentment focused towards you or focused towards the person who withheld the affection?
Yeah, I think it's more towards the other person. But, you know, when you're growing up and when the other person is no longer there,
right.
then it sort of shifts.
Right.
Because grandmother passed away after some time, but she had already set the stage for a different treatment.
Right.
So it did. But I think I would say my dad really took his best efforts, even in a small town in India,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that my sister and I were treated quite well. And I think that really helped. That mm-hmm. really helped in... But again,
mending that relationship.
Yeah.
At least keeping that relationship. Sushma, what do you have to share?
I think gender plays a role, definitely. You know, we talked about the difference. Arun talked about himself and his sister and coming from extended family. But even between the two, you know, siblings of the same gender,
mm-hmm.
there can be discrimination. You know, that daughter is much more fair. She looks better. So she gets a different treatment, or mm-hmm. at least she gets more attention. And, you know, similarly for sons, you know, who looks... There are just, and again, all of these comparisons that are negative comparisons can be extremely hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to forget, you know.
That is true. We carry these memories for a long time.
Yeah, I had a cousin who was called Sarita, and her sister was called Rashmi.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarita was not as good looking. And Rashmi was. So Sarita was called Suti, and Rashmi was called Reshmi.
Oh my goodness. For our non-Hindi speaking, Suti is cotton and Rashmi is silk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, think about living with that.
Those things you remember.
Yeah, and those things you remember for your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, the even though it comes from other people, you know, mm-hmm. just the way Arun talked about his grandmother, it creates resentment between the sisters.
Right,
it creates sibling rivalry between the sisters. And you know, sometimes it comes out right, because I know that, you know, my cousin Sarita is an IAS officer.
Maybe she was motivated to
she was
be
motivated
more
to be that because she had to do other achieving. Things to get attention and, you know.
Yeah, we are so shaped by those things, absolutely.
Yes.
But I was thinking that actually if the kids are of the same gender, then there it's a more like-to-like comparison, right? Mm-hmm. So the parents may be actually unwittingly, your brother is so good at school, why can't you be? He's so good at sports, how come the other is not? And Arun, you have boys who are very different, but both boys.
So I think obviously expectation setting plays a big role, right? Expectation setting and how that personalities evolve. Right. Initially, the personalities tend to fuse because the younger one is trying to
imitate
the older
mm-hmm,
one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the role model. Mm-hmm. Right. So as you're growing up, you're trying to become more like your older brother
mm-hmm.
and try to do things. But then after a certain age, you realize things are diverging. I just want to share an incident which happened 4 years ago. Very topical because it was around the presidential elections 4 years
mm-hmm.
ago. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my boys were now 12 and 9. So they were 8 and 5 at that time. So they are having the spirited discussion about what do you want to become when you grow older.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when kids are growing up, you have this thing, right? What do you want to be, right?
Right.
So you develop some kind of archetypes in your mind. And it was very striking because the younger one had more of the thing about becoming a leader.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And a politician. Or not really a politician, but like a leader who's in charge of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the older one was more the scientific bent, or he wants to be or still wants to be a scientist and so on. So it is interesting. We're talking about the Obama thing at that time. And Sachet, who's the younger one, said, okay, Advait, you know, when I become the president, mm-hmm. you'll be the chief scientist.
Yeah. Very positive rivalry. That's
I know.
Wonderful.
So he had already
divvied up the roles.
Yes.
How do they feel 4 years now? They're much older.
Yeah, I know. So it is. I don't know whether they still remember that, but I guess now they are more settled in the kind of strengths they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the direct rivalry in some of these situations.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is still there, and you know, it comes up in other, and I have another incident which I can share a little later, but it does come up in some of these.
No, I was thinking for boys, for instance, as she was mentioning, it's very cliched, but she mentioned how girls, the looks part of it was significant. So maybe we could sort of use an analogy, and boys in sports would be, mm-hmm. you know, a big thing because, again, it's a very objective comparison. Did you get trophies? Did you get medals? If they're both doing karate, who got the black belt first? Or, you know, there's.
Yeah.
Very obvious comparisons to be made. And Sushma, how do parents deal with one child maybe being naturally more athletic or better intellectually or better at the school system? I would never say one person is better intellectually, but say who is much better equipped to handle the school system than the other one, and there is a clear difference. So how do parents keep their mouths zipped? You know, to stop these comparisons from taking place, and what do they do? How do they ensure that even if they're not, as Arun pointed out, the grandmother was doing the establishing the difference. Here also, it may be the teacher at school who is saying, your brother was such a bright kid, how about you? And how do the parents deal with that?
Well, parents cannot take responsibility for what somebody else says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they themselves have enormous influence on children,
mm-hmm.
and they can help the children in defining their own identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that is the most important thing that the parents can do for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only what they are good at, who do they want to be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of a thing in terms of finding role models,
mm-hmm.
focusing on effort and not on achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because a lot of times what happens is that we focus on achievement, and achievement is really, it depends on so many
other factors.
Things.
Absolutely.
So many other factors.
Absolutely.
So, you know, parents have to really train themselves to say, you know, I was so proud of how much you tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm one of the parents one of the parents I work with, you know, he told me, he said, I get tired watching him try. And I say, have you told your son that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I think you need to tell him that. That you're trying so hard, it's okay to just kind of let go, it's all right.
So when one child comes to you, and let me take a concrete example here, and he says, or one child says, hey, I can throw the ball longer than you do, or one child is obviously gone to a soccer game and he has scored a goal, whereas the other child has perhaps been benched, and the other child comes to you for comfort or reassurance, how do you handle that? And secondly, how do you handle the one child saying to the other, I am better than you? Is there a way for a parent to do that? Is there a way for parents to handle that?
Well, you know, there is this psychologist called Adler.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of a lot into positive psychology and looking at individual strengths. He has this method for parenting called STEP, mm-hmm. systematic training for effective parenting. You know, the acronym is STEP.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically says that parents need to ask the questions. Who ask a question? Who owns the problem? Do they need to step in and solve the problem for the child?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they need to ask themselves, is your child old enough to handle that problem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can somebody get hurt because of the child's behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Are my rights being disrespected?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, you have to ask these questions, and based on these questions, decide, you know, is your child old enough to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
Based on these questions, you say, okay, the child can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to step in.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to let the child handle it. Maybe he won't do a good job, but he will learn something from it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
you resist the temptation to say, hey, don't say that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You let the child handle it. And later on, you can say, you know, I saw you doing that. That was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, acknowledge that you were there, you were observing, and you had confidence mm-hmm. in your child to be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Absolutely. So, Arun, you had a thought to share as well.
I think you talked about things like sports and where mm-hmm. one child... And, you know, it's a very, very current situation in our home, because the younger one is more sports and athletic oriented,
mm-hmm.
whereas the older one is not. And you can see, based on the number of trophies or medals or sports that he plays, that the younger one is actually better coordinated in some of those handball kind of coordination and able to score better and mm-hmm. get stuff. But I think it's also about how comfortable the older one is in his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it takes some time to develop an identity. And mm-hmm. so they both go for table tennis classes.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger one is actually plays at a higher league table than the older one.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both comfortable with it now, because mm-hmm. the
older one older has one, his own identity
his
of things
own identity
he's good at.
He's good at separately.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think it sort of works mm-hmm. out. Otherwise, it would have been... I mean, we were initially thinking whether we should put them in the same league or not, because the difference mm-hmm. in the playing ability, and that will show up, and how will it... But actually, the older one is actually quite comfortable in the way that this is not his strength. He's going there because he wants to play, or mm-hmm. he doesn't want to play, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah,
mm-hmm. that's wonderful. You are doing a really good job.
Yeah. I think the thing is, as Sushma pointed out, if the kids are okay with it, let's first give the kids a chance to be okay with it.
Yes.
And not assume that their differences are necessarily going to lead to a rivalry. So long as your attention to them is about the same, and you are complimenting each child on their not their achievement, but on their effort, and not making those obvious comparisons as to he's a better player, he's better at school, or he gets better grades. Keep those judgmental conversations out of the picture.
Out of the picture. Very true, yeah. And you know, you had on your show, I think in the month of June, you had some talk on the attributes, on the aptitudes
mm-hmm.
and attributes. So you really need to respect your child's attributes and aptitudes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they may have different, you know, different attributes and aptitudes.
Yeah, and so, you know, sometimes it's okay to compare with the, I feel, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As long as it's done in a neutral manner,
mm-hmm.
and as long as it's clear that it's for somebody to learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, listen, Advait, Sachet is doing this. Can you do similar manner?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we were, you know, so we took Advait for archery.
Mm-hmm.
That's something which he seems to be better at than Sachet. And then we could tell Sachet that, look, this is a game where
your brother is good at it.
And he's
absolutely
actually doing better. So it just sort of balances out.
We have a caller on the line, so let's take the call. Welcome, caller. You're on Parent Talk.
Hello. I had a quick question. Like, I have a twin.
Mm-hmm.
And constantly I feel like you know, I do appreciate their strengths and weaknesses. But at times I feel like, you know, when I talk about their strengths and weaknesses, am I trying to now compare with, you know, they have a different ways of doing. Their characters are different. How can I deal with green things because they're the same age, they do the same thing?
How old are the children?
They are 4 and a half, not still going to school. They're at home.
Okay, all right. And both boys or boy and girl?
Yes, boy.
Boys, okay. Yes. So, you know, 4 and a half is really pretty young to be talking about their strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know, they are just kind of enjoy them. And I mean, if you can give me an example, that will be great.
I'm like, they're not going to preschool. So what I'm doing is I'm teaching them, say, alphabets, I'm teaching them numbers, I'm teaching them phonics, I'm teaching them how to write the words.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like one is catching up and one is not, and one is catching up in the math and one other is catching up in English. Sometimes I do this mistake of, oh, he's trying, why don't you try? So is it fair to say like that, or is it like wrong? How to deal with it?
I will not say it's wrong, but I would not do that. I would just let them be. I would just let them write at their own pace and do things at their own pace. When they are ready, they will learn very fast.
I do that. I do, yeah. But at times, once in a while, I do say, you knew this. Yesterday you did it, and today you did not, and he is doing it. Like, you know, it just pops up once in a while. It doesn't happen because I allow them to do whatever, because I don't know who is the person with question.
Yeah, so you know, it is good to point out that, hey, yesterday you weren't able to do that, but today you are doing that. Look at you, you know. That's good to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay to say. But mm-hmm. if you say, look at your brother, he can do it so well, why can't you? That's not okay.
That's not okay. Okay. I don't say that, but usually it comes into their...
It's very natural, I think, when
I
you
know.
Have...
Antoine is more good at the English, and, like, you know, he picks up words very soon. And the other boy just stares at him, and he just stops. He just numbs. I mean, he freezes. Oh, he's doing so well, and he doesn't do it at all. And I don't know whether I should encourage the other boy to try.
Yeah, what you do not want is you don't want the kid to get in this mode of thinking that, oh, my brother will do it, he can do it, so I'll just stand back.
Or I can't, it's something he does, but I can't do it, at least not that young, perhaps.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Not that young, so...
Yeah, but that's natural, isn't it, Sushma? When we have two kids, it's so natural as a parent to say, look at him, he's doing it, why can't you do it too? I think
that... And you know, that is what mindful parenting and parenting from the inside out is about.
Yeah. You know, we have so much more to talk about on this subject. I think I'm going to have you guys back as guests sometime.
Thank you for calling her.
Absolutely. So thank you so much to Sushma and Arun. We have to finish this particular segment of the show right now.